Welcome to the Choose Optimism podcast, a podcast focused on letting you know of the great things optimists are doing in your community. We are in our second series focused on club fundraising and projects throughout our Optimist International family.
And continuing with our fundraising series, it is my pleasure to introduce my friend Chuck Sawyer from the Paso Robles Club talking about their Festival of Trees out in California. Chuck, great to have you on with us.
Hey, Shane, thanks for inviting me.
You know, Chuck and I met at the Atlanta convention when we snuck into a speakeasy and had a lot of fun downtown Atlanta. So that's the fun thing. You get to meet a lot of great people at these international conventions.
That was a lot of fun, man. Cigars and alcohol and Atlanta. What could be better?
Exactly, right? So, Chuck, tell us a little bit about your Optimist story, how you became involved with Optimist International, being an Optimist.
Well, let's see. I started 17 years ago. I think it'll be 17 years this May. And I was actually dating a gal who went and did a presentation at one of the meetings. And she came home from the meeting. And she goes, "Hey, this is a group you might like because it deals with helping kids. And you've always been a coach or scoutmaster or something involving kids." And she goes, "You probably know half the people there." So I went ahead and said, "Well, I'll go to one of the meetings." And she goes, "They're having this fundraiser called the Chinese Auction." And I bought tickets and I said, "Okay." So I went to the event, had a great time. And then I went to one of the meetings. And as soon as I got to the meeting, of course, I knew like half the people there. And they were going through the meeting and I thought, "Man, this is impressive." And I said, "Cool, I'll join right now." Funny story about that was there's a gentleman who was our governor at one time, Del Bishop, who said, "Well, I don't know if we can let him join the club until we see how he fishes," because I was a bass fisherman and so was he. And he goes, "Well, I'll take you out fishing. And if you can fish, then I'll let you in the club." So we went out fishing and I caught the first fish and he says, "All right, you're in." So that's how I became an Optimist. And then I was asked, let's see, that was in May. In October, when the elections came around, the president of the club asked me if I would be her vice president. And I said, "Well, God, I just joined." Well, I became vice president in October, and then she resigned the following January. So I became president like within my first year. And then moved up through the ranks after that.
Wow, talk about a way of getting you to be president very quickly. Yeah. Just up and resign.
It was a quick learner. But then I've been president two or three times of the club. Actually, four times now. And lieutenant governor three times. And now I am a two-term governor for the Pacific Southwest District.
So let's talk a little bit about your Festival of Trees. I'm assuming this is done at Christmas time, so it has to do with trees and a festival. So what kind of fundraiser do you have going with this Festival of Trees?
So the Festival of Trees came out of the idea that our district does down in Pasadena, California. Every year they do it around the 1st of December, and I've attended it and won probably a good number of the Christmas trees that they auction off. But what it involves basically is we go out in the neighborhood or neighborhoods in the cities and around the local community, and we get local businesses to sponsor a Christmas tree. And the Christmas tree involves a 4-foot lighted artificial Christmas tree that we purchase. And what we do is we sell them the Christmas tree for $50. The business's responsibility is to take that tree, decorate it with whatever theme they want to come up with, and then place $300 worth of presents under that tree. And last year was our first year doing it up in our area. And I brought the idea because of the Pasadena one. And it hadn't been done up in this area for the last 15 years. So in essence, it was a new idea for this community in this county. And it's a lot of fun. It's a little bit easier than doing some of the other events, because once you sell the Christmas tree to the business, it's pretty much up to them to go out and do the work as far as decorating the tree and buying the presents and all that. So we limited it last year to 40 Christmas trees, and we'll probably limit it to 45 Christmas trees this year. It's a lot of fun. You know, we have a dinner with some very good catered food. We have music that's provided by a jazz band from it's one of the students from one of the club members from Atascadero that he put together this little garage band. And this band, I was expecting, you know, okay, bunch of kids, you know, come out and try their best and we'll go with it. They actually turned out to be one of the best bands I think I've heard as far as doing a dinner. And they were wonderful. They got a lot of rave reviews, but we do a dinner. And then getting back to the Christmas trees, so people come in, they'll they buy a ticket to the event, which is $75, which covers basically the room rental and the food. And then we raffle off the Christmas trees, and people buy raffle tickets, and they go and place the raffle tickets in front of the tree that they want to try to win. And that's basically how the thing works.
So basically, you have a giant Christmas party, and people are buying raffle tickets to take a Christmas tree home.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And we have a sheet. They buy a sheet of tickets that has 25 tickets on the sheet, pre-printed numbers. They keep one ticket that has the numbers on it, and then they take the other 25 and put it in the tubs in front of the Christmas tree they want to win.
So this event does not cost you a lot of money when you think about it, because you have the businesses that do the trees. You guys have the tickets to cover the cost of the food and the rental. What are some of the expenses that you have?
So our expenses, basically, because it was our first year, we grossed, I believe, nearly $18,000, $19,000. Our cost to do it this year was right around $13,000. So next year, or this year, I should say, we're going to do the event on November 23rd. And because we've already purchased table linens and all the necessities that we needed to run the event, we're looking to make a lot bigger profit. Our food costs, our catering was around $5,500. The band was free, actually, so that was pretty cool. But and then we purchased the Christmas trees to sell them. Now, we purchased the Christmas trees from Michaels, and we get those, or we could get them from Hobby Lobby or any of the other, you know, suppliers out there. But they usually run right around $24, $25. So we actually make a little bit of profit off of selling the Christmas tree itself. The other cost we had was the facility rental. We have a big lake down in Atascadero that has a pavilion next to it, and it's actually quite beautiful. It has big windows that overlook the lake, and we rented that. They rented it out to nonprofits for only $1,500, plus a few extra costs for security and cleaning and stuff like that. But basically, just doing the event and getting the supplies needed to do it was our biggest cost.
How many people attended last year to the Festival of Trees?
Well, we anticipated the hall itself can hold approximately 240. I was shooting for 200. We actually only had about 130, 135 people.
But you still have some room to grow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, it was kind of cool that we only have the hall for the one day. We rent it from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. And we tell everybody, you got to bring your Christmas tree by noon, because we open the doors at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the people who were bringing the Christmas tree showed up to set up the tree. They walked into the room and they went, oh my gosh, this is incredible. We had no idea. And they said, I said, well, you know, we'll see you at 2 o'clock. And they were like, no, we have some other things going. We can't attend, but definitely next year we are going to be here. This is awesome. And everybody that was there, we had, like I said, we ended up with like about 135 people. And everybody that was there had such a great time. They said, oh my God, we're coming back next year. So everybody loved it. The food was excellent. The music, the time, the raffle, everybody loved it.
So tell me a little bit about the setup the day of the event and getting ready for the event. Tell us a little bit about some of the work that goes into that.
Well, because I was the only one that pretty much knew what this event was about, I was placed in charge of it, of course. And then we worked together with the Atascadero Club, because our club is limited in numbers and their club is limited in numbers. But basically, it was going out and soliciting not only for businesses to get the trees, but which started probably in September, August, somewhere in there, and getting them to sponsor the tree. And then we did a large bonus tree, like a 6-7 foot bonus tree that had about $1,000 worth of stuff under it. And we had to go out and solicit for gifts for that tree. We also had to purchase table linens. We had to, you know, set up all the venue and everything. In fact, we just booked the venue about 3-4 weeks ago, because this venue fills up so fast, and we had to go ahead and pay the deposit for that. But it takes a little bit of work. Right now we're in kind of a holding pattern. I just got done running off flyers, interest letters, ticket order forms, tree order forms. Then we had to run posters and banners. Speaking of banners, I went and ordered 3 large banners to place around town. And I went around at 10 o'clock at night and hung them, because our city is not real favorable to hanging banners. But I was able to hang a few of them around town at night. When I went to go take pictures the next morning, I guess some of the homeless, I guess, living in the riverbed stole one. So that was about a $300 loss. But, you know, we'll just replace it this year. But we go around and hang banners. And, the biggest thing was I did a radio spot. I have a friend of mine who is a DJ at one of the local radio stations, and he had me come in, and we recorded a 30-second jingle for the event, and the station ran it constantly. So I think we drummed up a few clientele from that radio spot.
So what was your jingle? Let's hear the jingle you had to do for the radio ad.
Oh my God, I'd have to send it to you. It was basically had me talking about the event. It's amazing how much you try to cram into a 30-second spot. I rewrote out this. I wrote out the script, and we whittled it down to the point where we could squeeze it in. And I think we got it at 29.6 seconds or something like that. And then we put music behind it that it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And it was kind of a cool ad. I'd have to play it for you, but I don't know where it is right now in my system.
We know all about trying to cram as much information into a 30-minute podcast as we can. So, Weeki, I feel your pain on that one.
I tell you, it's such a great event, and it doesn't take as much work as some of the other events that we've done. you know, we've done stick horse races. We've done, our biggest one was a Chinese auction, and people still wonder where the Chinese auction is, but we just don't have the manpower. It takes about 20 people in a club to do it. But the Festival of Trees, you know, everybody loves Christmas. So, you know, what could be better than having, you know, Christmas in November right before Thanksgiving or right after Thanksgiving?
And is this like a formal event where people dress up, or is it just kind of come as you are? What are some of the things you're working on for that?
It's pretty much come as you are. You know, we had people dress up, you know, in holiday attire. We did give an award for the best looking trees. So we had a first, second, and third. And then the people at the event, when they sat down at their table, they all had a ballot on their plate. And as they went around and looked at all the trees, they could vote on what they thought was the best looking trees. And when you see some of the trees, I mean, some of the ways they get decorated, it's pretty impressive. We did a piggy tree that was all pigs, and it had pink lights and pink garland and a bunch of little pig ornaments, and everything under the tree was pork related, either platters or statuary or stuffed pigs or games about pigs. And we actually got voted first place, so I can't complain. But there were some beautiful trees there. And then just the different themes, everything from summer to tools to alcohol, wine, jewelry. One of the local jewelers brought a tree that was fully decorated with about $300 or $400 worth of jewelry under it.
Well, speaking of that, we need to take a quick commercial break to talk about the upcoming Optimus International Convention with our international president, who happens to be a jeweler. So we're going to take just a few minutes to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back with you.
Hey, Optimus, what are you doing June 22nd through the 26th of 2024? Come hang out with us in Niagara Falls for the 106th Optimus International Convention. A chance to hear motivational speakers, attend workshops, and meet and socialize with other optimists from all over Optimus International. Did you know that the first club of Toronto was the first club to be chartered outside of the United States in 1924? So that means we're celebrating 100 years of optimism in Canada this year. So register for the convention today to have a great time and learn and meet amazing people from all over the world.
And we're still talking with Chuck about the Festival of Trees and the types of trees they had. So you said you had all types of trees with a jeweler, the pig tree, tools, hardware. I mean, you can pretty much decorate a tree, Christmas tree, for anything, it sounds like, for a business.
Oh, yeah. I ended up actually decorating about 8 trees, and they were all sitting on my dining room table at one point. One we did was called Death by Chocolate, which had all kinds of chocolate bars and kind of chocolate themed kitchen accessories. It had a chocolate fountain. We did one since Jimmy Buffett passed away last year. We actually did a Margaritaville tree that had all kinds of Jimmy Buffett stuff, parrots. It had Jimmy Buffett books, magazines. It had music, everything related to, and a blender, of course. You had to have a blender. But those are just some of the ideas, you know, that were thrown about. We also had a bar set up so people could purchase beer, wine, sodas, water to go along with the fun that they were having. And it was a great afternoon. We opened up the doors at 2, and people stayed, I would say, easily till 6:30, 7 o'clock. It was a fun event.
So it was kind of like a more of a late afternoon, early dinner type deal that you were having going instead of an all evening deal.
Right. Yeah. Since we opened the doors at 2, how we ran the agenda was at 2 o'clock, people we came in, we opened up the doors. They could grab a cocktail, they could walk around, look at the trees. You'd be surprised, you know, people would come in and buy a sheet of tickets, 25 tickets, and they found they ran out of tickets fast, plunking them in front of the trees because we had 40 trees. So it was really good that they had to go back and purchase more tickets, which really helped. And most of our money was made off the raffle tickets, but they would come in. We gave them 2 hours basically to walk around, bid on the trees and look at that. At 3 o'clock, we had the band come in and they started, they played from 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock. So they played, you know, only a couple hours. And then we served dinner at about 4:30. They ran a little bit behind. So dinner was probably 4:30, 5 o'clock. Took about an hour between dinner and dessert. And then right at 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock, we then did a small presentation. We had a slideshow put together of what our clubs do for the community, which had music. I think it lasted all of about 5 minutes. But it has slideshow and showed everybody there. And then, of course, we tried to hit up people to join our clubs. And then we went right into the raffle. And the raffle itself probably took about an hour, hour and 20 minutes, something like that. So once that was done, it was over. Oh, we also had a Santa Claus. Grape Roosh, who is a good friend of mine, he kind of has got long hair and a beard, so we made him Santa Claus, and I bought a backdrop that looked like a fireplace setting and set that up so people could actually take a picture with Santa Claus. So it was kind of cool.
So it sounds like a pretty good event all the way around. Very festival, getting ready for Christmas. Did you get any new members from doing the membership drive?
Not at this point. I know there's a few that have voiced that they'd like to get interested in it, but we didn't have anybody that evening. Although a few people did take application forms, and they were encouraged to go on to Optimist International website and see what we're all about.
Well, it sounds like you had a great event, and I did forget to ask, what did you serve for dinner?
Okay, we had a choice. There was pork loin in a really nice, I think it was a cherry sauce, or we also had coco van, and which is chicken with wine. Had mixed vegetables, a roll. Can't remember what I think. Oh, we had rice, so in a kind of a mixed vegetable thing, but it was really cool. The food was absolutely phenomenal, and the same caterer is going to come back and do it again this year.
I'm just really glad you didn't say like mincemeat pie or fruitcake. That was, you know, that would be a bad
Shane. Nobody likes fruitcake.
Only if you are a nut, right? Chuck, yeah. I can't tell you how much we appreciate you sharing your knowledge on the Festival of Trees and maybe inspire another club to do something that around that time of the year and just have a lot of fun fundraising with your club. So we can't thank you enough for sharing your knowledge with us.
Well, thanks, Shane. You know, when you guys asked me to do this, I was more than happy. So it worked out really great.
Well, like I said, we appreciate it as optimists like you that keep our club strong and moving forward in the right direction so we can continue to help the children of our community.
Awesome. Yeah, that's our goal, is to, you know, keep our clubs rolling and get as many members as we can so we can help more and more kids.
So this was your first Festival of Trees. What are some other fundraisers that you do through the year?
Well, unfortunately, with the size of our club, that was the only real fundraiser that we did. We're looking into possibly doing another type raffle, something, you know, with a big prize and sell, you know, so many tickets for the prize. But in the past, you know, we've done a stick horse race, we've done Chinese auction. We're open to doing anything, really. The only other one we have is we do have a, you know, joker poker that we do at our club meetings just to generate some funds. But that's pretty much it as far as fundraising. Now, we do give a lot of, we do a lot of events in the community. This Saturday, the 27th, we're doing a kids fishing derby, which we do twice a year. And that's our way of giving back to the community. We provide everything. It's a free event for kids 15 and under. And, you know, that all kids come out. It's a blast to do that one. And we raffle off fishing poles and tackle boxes, thanks to Zebco and Walmart. So, we have a lot of fun with that. And then we do an oak festival. It's a honey festival, actually, in a end of October, where we actually do a spelling bee and have a bunch of third grade kids come and do a regular spelling bee with a, and they can win bicycles. It's kind of a fun deal.
Well, I can't thank you enough for being on with us, Chuck, and sharing knowledge about your first year of the Festival of Trees. And we're hoping to inspire a club out there to do something like this to continue to help the children of their community.
Well, it's a lot of fun to do, and it's worthwhile. And, you know, thanks for having me, Shane.
Well, I can't thank you enough, because if it wasn't for optimists like you, we wouldn't be having Optimist International and wouldn't be having this podcast. So we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Choose Optimism podcast. This series is focused on club fundraising and projects throughout our Optimist International family. We are hoping to inspire other clubs to pick up new fundraisers and new ideas to take back to their clubs and improve their communities in better ways. If you are interested in becoming an Optimist, please find us on optimist.org, or better yet, reach out to a local Optimist club in your community.